But we're very happy to bring in Mr. October himself, Reggie Jackson, and he's here because he'll be participating in the Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions. That's going to get underway tomorrow down at the Four Seasons Golf and Sports Club in Orlando. Reggie, thanks for being on the show, and I'll just start with the huge bombshell. I don't know if you want to talk about it or not, but this whole thing with the Astros and the Red Sox and the firings and CC Sabathia saying that the Red Sox should vacate their title. What do you think about what do you think about this whole mess?
Well, I guess you could call it a mess. I think that what the commissioner has done is given some real strict, strong. Penalties for what's transpired. I know that he's got a good cadre of guys around him and advisors that know the game, the Joe Torre, people like that, Jimmy Leland, and that he confers with. And I know that he wanted to make it, you know, very harsh. And I thought it was harsh. I not only think that you wind up with harsh payments, but harsh penalties. But you also wind up with the fact that you're branded like that, and you take that with you. You know, I think you have to terminate the people that were involved because it would affect the franchise. People are going to see that, and then they'd make comments and be articles all the time, and it just kind of drags along with you. You get sadly, I don't know whether it's deservedly so, but sadly, you get branded with it. So that's a penalty, and that's also a penalty.
It's a weird thing because it was like when Nixon had Watergate, he was paranoid he was going to win the election anyway. And I think about all the talent the Astros had. I mean, they didn't even really need that advantage. It just seems kind of weird that they would risk it like that.
I don't know. I think that the people that were involved thought that it was helping, and certainly, if you know what's coming, it's got to help you. You got to be a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I didn't really want to know what's coming because I didn't want to affect my ability to be able to decipher what I think is coming with my innate skill set. I didn't want to get in the way of myself or get lazy when I was building my bat.
Hmm.
If I'm facing a Verlander with, you know, three different curveballs, two different fastballs, two different changeups, you know, guy's got seven pitches. I'm in the at bat facing him with the situation and the score and men in certain positions, face being open or whatever, and the way I'm swinging the bat and I'm looking at him, he's looking at me. That battle that's going on mentally, you know, allows me to figure out what he's going to throw me the next at bat, and then the next pitch. And in a certain circumstance that I'm in the situation in the game, men on base, base open, one run down, even two runs up, those situations all impact how I'm thinking at home plate. If I know what's coming, I get lazy and quit in the at bat and kind of lose being able to trust, you know, and develop my skills and get better.
It's very interesting. I like that answer. So what do you think about Mike Fiers now? Because we have the pendulum swinging one way to, you know, heroic whistleblower to dirty rat snitch. I mean, where is he for you?
Well, he's not a dirty rat snitch. I don't know if it, to me, it doesn't lay in Fiers' lap. If you know, are on a baseball team and you get traded or you don't get paid what you think you should get, I never saw everybody, how many people get traded and say, oh, this is great for me, or, oh, I got screwed.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get what I should get paid. I didn't get the chances. I didn't get the opportunities. So if you see something going wrong over there with the team, and everybody knows about it, sooner or later, somebody's going to talk. And I don't know if it's blowing the whistle or not. I think blowing the whistle makes it sound like the guy's giving a cheap shot. But it's like, if you're going to be cheating and you leave and you got somebody gets traded, he feels he got the raw deal, he's going to say, well, they're not that good anyway. They cheat. Oh, really? And so it's, I mean, you just can't video people. Come on, bro. You can't do that.
No doubt. A couple more questions.
You video the catcher and he's given, you know, you're watching him give 50 pitches. You know, a high school kid can figure the signs out.
No doubt. I think one would be a fastball. Yeah, I got you. Reggie Jackson is with us. He's down at the Diamond Resorts Tournament Champions in Orlando. A couple more questions for Reggie. And this whole new concept of launch angles, I was talking to Steve Garvey about this, and he said that he could never live with the amount of Ks that some of these big leaguers have now, because he says if you hit 30 home runs but you strike out every other at-bat, that's a good season now. What would it be like for you if they told you, you know what, just swing from your heels on every pitch if you feel like it?
I didn't really learn the game that way, you know, so I probably would not have done that. I aspire to try to be either a Henry Aaron or a Billy Williams or an Albert Pujols type player that, you know, put the ball in play, hit 300. Heck, I only hit 300 once. I had a lot of homers. I struck out a lot. I struck out 2,500 times in 21 years. That doesn't seem like a lot, and it's not a lot when you consider that in my era, I was striking out 135, 140, 160, and now 200 is nothing. That's too many. Because there's a time comes when you've got to put the ball in play. You can't swing and miss, strike out with bases loaded, one out, nobody out. You got to put the ball in play. And so, you know, I don't say they're crazy. I don't know what they're talking about. But let's just stay within the game as to what you're supposed to be doing. And we need to be putting the ball in play, not hitting 30 home runs and striking out 200. That doesn't equate to being a good hitter.
Right. And you know what, the other day, Reggie, I was talking to somebody. I'm 54. I grew up in the East Bay. I'm a lifelong Ace fan. And I was trying to explain to him how big of a star you were in your prime. You know, we didn't have social media. Not every game was on TV like now. There was no Michael Jordan. You were the biggest sports star in America, bar none. And do people still, I mean, we all know about the four home runs in the World Series and the Yankees and all that, but you were as big as it could get at that time, Reggie.
I don't know. You know, in the 70s, gosh, we had, in my era was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and guys like that. And, of course, a little bit before me, about 10, 12 years before me, was the great Jim Brown, Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell, Jerry West, Oscar, and the Big O, and, you know, those kind of guys. It was really cool, man. In my era was Joe Green, Franco Harris, and players like that, and even more that I'm, you know, forgetting about. But I loved playing in the era and admired the guys I played against, admired the guys I mentioned, and still proud of the fact that I'm good friends with Joe Montana, who's all one of the all-time greats, and it's just enjoyable for me. I didn't never really care who was the mostest. I just wanted to be one of them.
Well, one of your great contemporaries, Joe Morgan, you know, he went out of his way a couple of years ago to say, please don't vote for people like Bonds and Clemens for the Hall of Fame. I don't have a vote. If I did, I'd put them in, all the MVPs, all seven Cy Youngs and all that. Where do you sit in the midst of all that?
Well, you know, I can certainly say that I've changed over the years. I didn't think that the guys that were suspected should get in the Hall of Fame with steroids. But, you know, we now have several players that have been suspected and are in. And so those guys, Bonds and Clemens, did not get tested. They never tested positive. So they should probably be in the Hall of Fame, I think. That other people are that were suspected. So, you know, they should probably be in my opinion.
Is it also true that every time you tied your cleats or your spikes that Puma would send you $50?
No, it was more than that, but I did have a deal. I did have a deal where if I tied my shoes, I got paid.
Well, you're going to be down there at the golf tournament, and is that something that you take a lot of pride in, or are you just out there swinging them for fun?
Well, there's I am out here swinging for fun because I'm not that good.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a charity event here, and they do help the Children's Hospital here in Orlando, and that's a pretty cool deal. And I do like the fact that Diamond Resorts does make an effort to do something with charity and to do something for kids. So I'm on the team with Diamond, and anything I can do to help them with what they're trying to accomplish to help children, I'm all for that. So I'm a Diamond Resorts guy.
And you'll make the cut because there is no cut.
No, I'm not going to play for 4 days. I'm going home tomorrow, bro.
All right, there he is, Reggie Jackson. Remember, as he was talking about Diamond Resorts Tournament of Champions at the Four Seasons Golf and Sports Club in Orlando, this is going to be on NBC and the Golf Channel, so check it out. Hey, Reggie, man, thanks for your time and your insights. Great stuff. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll catch up down the road.
All right, sure. Talk later.
All right, good stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline.